Good morning. This is Aaron Hart at 6:07. We have so much to talk about today, and a lot of it's funny. It's like the entire Bush administration. Some of it's really, really, really funny, and some of it's so appalling. You don't know where to begin. You're so angry, sick, and sad at the travesty that is this administration. So with that in mind, we'll take on the day's news. Let's start funny, though, because it is 6:07 in the morning. We'll get to Ron Suskind, The Way of the World, and his incredible book, which delineates basically, and they're already backtracking, denial, denial, denial. Oh, yeah, we can be charged with malfeasance in the government, like the same cases that were put lots of the Watergators in jail. Oh, no, we don't want to do this. Woo! We didn't say it. Ron Suskind has tapes, he says. Basically, the news is, Bush not only knew about what there were no weapons of mass destruction, apparently now the allegations are the White House, probably through Dick Cheney, suggested to fake a letter to make it look like the head of intelligence actually was connected to Al-Qaeda and the Palestinian terrorists who they kept saying, oh, yeah, they're connected. Yeah, through a fabricated letter that they apparently invented. And they forced the CIA, they kept telling the CIA, you must find Al-Qaeda, you must find weapons of mass destruction, you must. Well, this just puts a whole nother spin. This isn't incompetence, stupid. This is like they betrayed us and lied their faces off. Now, many of us have believed they've lied their faces off for a long time, but I smell the whiff of a smoking gun. I smell the whiff. It's like fee, fi, fo, fum. The Bush administration is criminal and finally coming undone. Good. It's about time. But let's start first with John McCain and Paris Hilton. I know, an unlikely pair of bedfellows, but, you know, I have to say, Paris Hilton just went up about 95% in my estimation. I mean, just when you think you can write her off to be a dumb blonde, she's at least smart enough to hire good script writers and do a wonderful parody response ad to the McCain ad, you know, the one that accused Obama of being an empty suit, that he's just a celebrity on the order of Britney Spears and Paris Hilton, and really nothing to him. As David Gergen, the fine Harvard pundit and law professor and professor who has been an advisor to at least four presidents on the record, if not off as well, and he has been, you know, saying that what they're trying to do is paint Barack Obama as uppity, you know, and the whole syndrome of trying to paint an African-American man who is successful, such as Barack Obama, as being, you know, what used to be called an uppity Negro. I mean, these guys are just relentless and they're insane. And today, I think it is today, Maureen Dowd of The New York Times calls McCain, Richard of Gloucester. I mean, he's so jealous. He's just like, you're going to be, I'm the bad boy in this celebrity in this race. I'm the guy. I'm cool. I'm hip. And if you needed to see any more, wait till you hear John McCain at Sturgis. McCain has figured out, I can't attract a crowd of 200,000 people, but I can go places where 50,000 people are and stand next to them. Well, wait till you hear what he said about his wife when he was standing next to the throngs at Sturgis, where thousands of bikers gather every year. And I mean motorcyclists this time. Motorcyclists gather to celebrate their cyclistness, their bikerness. So anyway, it's pretty scary. But then comes on Paris Hilton to the scene to do a parody ad on running for office that is hilarious. Of course, the McCain campaign, pathetic as they are, tried to jump on her ad and say, see, she agrees with us. Now, it is true that her parents have contributed, but if you listen to the ad, you hear her call Barack Obama Barack, and only stone cold supporters of Barack Obama call him Barack. So it's like, forget about it. Anyway, read the tea leaves as you will. Both are hilarious, unintentionally by McCain, who looks like, he does look like Richard of Gloucester. Like me, my keep, you know, he's just so pathetic. It's like me, I'm a bad boy celebrity. I'm a Navy pilot. I'm cool. And it's like, instead, he sounds like this ridiculous, out of touch kind of guy trying to grasp hard for attention. Either that, or he knows that this contest that he refers to in the clip is as risque and rowdy and disrespectful, let's face it, to women as it is. And he decided to put his wife, his bottle blonde wife, up for it anyway. Great. Great. Oh, God, it really is so sad. But really, my hat's off to Paris Hilton for taking her life back into her own hands and for standing these guys on their heads. You know, use my name in an ad, go right ahead, but I'm going to respond to you. So I believe John Turk, the fine John Turk, has all of this queued up and ready to go. John, don't you think we ought to start with Paris? Let's just start with Paris. Because Paris is at, now there is one word here that might offend you, so just to let you know, it begins with B and ends with S, and it rhymes with itch. But, you know, just to let, it's done in a colloquial way that I think is funny, and I think it's okay. But just to warn you, that's there, and I might say beep when it happens. So, anyway, it's an hilarious ad. Just picture her. I'll set the scene for you. She's sitting in a lounge, typical Hollywood, California place to sit. She's Beverly Hills. She's sitting by her pool, or a pool. It's bathed in yellow light. She looks gorgeous. She's got her little hairdo on. She's in a bikini. She's sitting by the pool with a magazine, and she's sunning herself. And here is her ad.
Hey, America, I'm Paris Hilton, and I'm a celebrity, too. Only I'm not from the olden days, and I'm not promising change like that other guy. I'm just hot. But then that wrinkly white-haired guy used me in his campaign ad, which I guess means I'm running for president. So thanks for the endorsement, white-haired dude. And I want America to know that I'm, like, totally ready to lead. And now I want to present my energy policy for America. Just as soon as I finish reading this article on where I can fly to get the best tan. Oh, Maui. Loves it. Okay, so here's my energy policy. Barack wants to focus on new technologies to cut foreign oil dependency. And McCain wants offshore drilling. Well, why don't we do a hybrid of both candidates' ideas? We can do limited offshore drilling with strict environmental oversight while creating tax incentives to get Detroit making hybrid and electric cars. That way, the offshore drilling carries us until the new technologies kick in, which will then create new jobs and energy independence. Energy crisis solved. I'll see you at the debates, bitches.
Ooh.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go pick out a vice president. I'm thinking Rihanna. I'll see you at the White House. Oh, and I might paint it pink. I hope that's cool with you guys. Bye.
And I might paint it pink.
I'm Paris Hilton, and I approve this message because I think it's totally hot.
I do think that ad is Bravo! Bravo! Paris! That's the best thing you've ever, ever done. It almost makes up for your sex video. Woo! Paris Hilton, you get my standing O of the day. Standing ovation for Paris Hilton. That is the smartest and best thing. My friend, that redeems you from going to jail. That redeems you. You get a get-out-of-jail-free card. You know, all of your attempts to rehabilitate yourself by doing charity work. I actually believe it now. That was hilarious. That just, I mean, I'm sorry. That is what this campaign has been missing, which is a bona fide sense of humor. Congratulations. Yay, Paris. You know, it's like, excuse me, got to go find my vice president. Oh, maybe I'll take Brianna. You know, I mean, it's just hilarious. I mean, she's smart. She's funny. She's right on. And of course, McCain's campaign, apparently, according to Dan Abrams last night, came out and said, oh, well, but she agrees with me. She agrees with me. She agrees with me. Like me, like me. It's worse than Sally Field on steroids, John McCain. But, you know, the problem with that is actually her plan is like the Gang of Tens in Congress. And actually her plan echoes pretty much Barack Obama's. So pretty funny, hilarious, wonderful, wonderful news. She has a sense of humor. She's clear about who she is. And she made fun. She just put a fork in John McCain's attempts to use her. Her parents should be proud. I question their, you know, decision to back John McCain in this election. But, you know, at least they raised a daughter with this, who has endured the glare of celebrities and used it to her own advantage every single time she could. And bravo for her. Bravo for her. By the way, the likening of it's just really it is so sad. It is so sad. John McCain, boy envy. She's also referring to likening Richard of Gloucester, who kills his two nephews, by the way, for aspiring to the throne. This is the Maureen Dowd in the New York Times today. She's also making fun of Bill Clinton. If you have not seen Kate Snow's interview with Bill Clinton, you need to see it, because he too, both John McCain and Bill Clinton are exhibiting green-eyed monster envy of Barack Obama. Oh, he's more famous than us. Oh, he got a big crowd in Germany. I have to be cool now. Wait till you hear. We'll come back from the break and listen to John McCain. Well, as we come back from the break, make sure you do not leave your radio. Stay through the break, because you do not want to miss this soundbite. Listen to John McCain on the stage at Sturgis yesterday, standing next to his wife, who, if I'm any gauge of public reactions, was appalled and did not realize her husband was going to make her biker bait. It's really sad. But just wait till you hear it when you come back, okay? Because when we come back from break, you will be appalled. And we will play the Paris Hilton ad over and over again this morning, because I can't get enough of it. I want to hear it over and over and over again. I just find it wonderful. 303-713-7600. How about you? Is humor finally coming back to this campaign? As poor John McCain gets a bad case of the green eyes and says, I want to be noticed. Notice me. Notice me. Well, I don't think you want this kind of noticing, dude. 303-713-7600. The flyboy goes amok at Sturgis. Wait till you hear it. The gathering of bikers in South Dakota provides a sad stage for John McCain. It's 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the J. Marvin Show on this Wednesday morning, August 6th. Hi, I just got an email. I think my friend had a baby early. Anyway, John McCain is hilarious, and, you know, it just... Can we play John McCain again? I need to hear it again, because I love the way he just sidles up to the bikers as if, hi, I need to be cool. Okay, here's his wife standing next to him in a casual shirt. So she doesn't look like sexualized, just so you know. Anyway, go ahead.
You know, I was looking at the Sturgis schedule and noticed that you have a beauty pageant. And so I encouraged Cindy to compete.
Now,
I told her with a little luck, she could be the only woman ever to serve as both the First Lady and Miss Buffalo Chip.
And Miss Buffalo Chip. Well, first of all, you know, we all know in the West what Buffalo Chip means, don't we? I mean, that's more of the charm of Sturgis. It's like Buffalo Chip. And Miss Buffalo Chip would be the person able to represent Buffalo excrement for the bikers. And she got to dress in really skimpy bikinis, bottomless or topless, and have dozens and thousands of bikers googling her. Look at our biker babes. I'm making wild stereotypes here. I know most bikers aren't lascivious hog riders. But, you know, it's just amazing, isn't it? I mean, there he is offering up his wife in a beauty contest that I would say on the scale of sexism rates about a 10. So it's like, and I see nothing wrong with beauty pageants to advance a person's career, but let's face it, really, it's a celebration of, hi, I'm a biker chick on this guy's appendage. It's really pretty sad. Really pretty sad, but there he is. Like me. I'm cool. I'm hip. I may be in my 70s, but I'm cool. I'm hip. It's like the guy might as well be wearing a mullet. I mean, John McCain, what's next? He's going to grow out a mullet. He's going to start wearing biker clothes. He's going to start hanging with the homeboys. What is wrong with him? He's just so sad. Like me. I can't figure out how to draw a crowd, but I can go stand next to one. Look at me. Here I am, John McCain. No ideas, or I change my mind so often your head will spin. By the way, his latest epiphany about energy just came about in June, right before he got a giant donation from an oil company. Wow, big surprise. Ding, 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 ding. I want offshore oil drilling. Oh, look, I have more money. How did that happen? Oh, I don't know. It's sort of like the Bush administration. Oh, I want a war in Iraq. How will I do that? Oh, I know, fake letters and get... I mean, the leader of the Iraqi intelligence, Habush, was going to them and saying, you know, he doesn't have any weapons of mass destruction. They could have turned him. The CIA was coming up with some good ideas. I know, memo to Bush's administration. Let's get Habush to get close to Saddam and assassinate him. You know, without having to invade the country, spend, close to $1 trillion. Yeah, sounds kind of good to me. Did they want to do that? No, because Bushy decided the second day he was in office to invade Iraq. And nothing, absolutely nothing, never mind that they didn't have weapons of mass destruction. Never mind that they didn't have nuclear weapons. Never mind that they weren't in bed without even, you know, kissing cousins or holding hands, one foot on the floor with Al-Qaeda. You know, I mean, it's enraging when you listen to Ron Suskind. So we're also going to play you Serious Sound today from The Way of the World with Ron Suskind, who is an author and a veteran journalist who has put out a new book, basically. And of course, the White House, what did they do? They did what they did to Scott McClellan. They called him names. They went, oh, gutter journalism. Oh, he's bad. He's a lie. You know, now, did they dispute anything? Why, no. Did they challenge the facts? Not as far as I can tell. Did they deny anything with it? Nope. They did have John McGuire, who apparently spoke on the record. That's the beauty of Ron Suskind's book, too. And we are trying to book him. You may have to wait for Jay to return on Monday to hear it. But still, it's just because he's doing his national thing now. And sometimes in local radio, we have to wait a little bit. But it's like, you know, it is so amazing to hear him discuss this last night on Keith Olbermann. I heard him on Dan Abrams, too. I heard him on the Race to the White House with Gregory and Rachel Maddow. And it's stunning. It's just stunning. The guy is just absolutely spot on with tracing and getting people, spooks, to talk to him on the record. Now, this is a fine piece of journalism, and what it does is it exposes. And the reason that it's important is because it shows that the Bush administration, it wasn't a matter of questionable intelligence. It isn't even anymore about the bit of cherry-picking the intelligence. It's about they made up their minds. They were going to war, come hell or high water. And by the way, this is on none of the big headlines in the papers today, just so you know. Thank goodness for cable news. And talk radio, because it hasn't been anywhere. It's basically, you know, oh, yeah, Suskind. They're jealous, probably. And you know, Clinton and Bush fatigue. So everybody goes, oh, no, he'll never get impeached. I read a fascinating interview, by the way, a really lengthy interview, where House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was quoted substantially by the editor of The Nation, Katrina VandeHeuvel. So I will be talking about that to you today, too, because for the first time, I actually sort of understood why she made that promise not to prosecute this administration or try to impeach them. So I don't necessarily agree with her reasoning, but I understand it. She says she's looking at long ball. Maybe you've seen this stuff before, but I hadn't seen it all in one place like this, so we'll talk about that. Paris Hilton mocking herself, announces her 2008 bid. You know, Paris Hilton should run with Stephen Colbert. I'll bet you they'd get elected. If Stephen Colbert, if Paris Hilton and Stephen Colbert ran for office at this point, I think in the silly season, they absolutely would get elected, wouldn't they? I mean, what strange bedfellows or running mates would you like to see? And by the way, it is Wednesday. The big media, the mainstream media speculation is that Barack Obama is going to pick Evan Bayh, Senator of Indiana, today as his running mate. I'm going to go out on a limb. What time is it, John? It's it is 6:29 in the morning. I am going to go out on a limb. August 6th today, it's supposed to be the decision. They've all read the tea leaves. No events on his schedule. He's going to Indiana. They're going to be close to Evan Bayh's birthplace. You know, what's going on? He's going to be the vice president. Here's why I do not think that Barack Obama will pick Evan Bayh as president, vice president. Have you ever heard him speak? Have you ever heard Evan Bayh speak? He is about as charismatic as oatmeal. As a matter of lukewarm oatmeal. I have nothing against him. He's a smart man. He's a good man. But in terms of the attack dog meter, the what they're going to need to come back at these Rove Junior Varsity attacks, he makes Joe Lieberman look interesting. Okay, he makes the blandest of the bland look amazingly charismatic. He's just, I've heard him now for years on chat shows and everything else, and he just, you wonder why he's not president, and it's not only that because he's a DLC kind of candidate. It is a Democratic Leadership Council. It is also because he is boring, and I mean boring. I mean, the only way he could win a debate with a vice presidential candidate, his counterpart, is by putting everybody to sleep. So I just don't think it's going to be. And also, Illinois, Indiana, he can't even possibly. He's like sort of like John Edwards in North Carolina. It's really not certain he could deliver the state, you know. So why would you want him? And the pundits out east, I agree with some of the the counter pundits who've been saying, what are they, high? Do they think everybody in the Midwest goes, hi, Indiana is voting this way, so in Ohio, I will vote this way? No, I mean, people don't vote in lockstep. It'll be like saying Coloradoans vote like Wyomingans. Wyomingans. What do you call them anyway? People from Wyoming who drive with their feet out the window. Anyway, I'm just kidding, people from Wyoming. So I would love to talk to you about all of these things. Paris Hilton, John McCain and Sturgis, which, believe you me, we're going to beat that sound to death. I know, but I need a laugh. It is the, you know, it's mid, we have a lot, we still have, I think, about 90 days until the election. I haven't counted formally, but it's about that. And you know what? We need a break. We need to laugh, right? And thank goodness for Paris Hilton, who knew that we would be so grateful to her. And thank you, John McCain, for being an arrogant idiot son of a gun and going for it and going, hey, my wife, take her, put her in a bikini, make her meat. What a great idea. Not so much. 303-713-7600, John McCain, son of a gun, extraordinaire. 303-713-7600, I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for Jay Marvin. I would love to talk to you, but first we have to check in with Colorado's Progressive Talk and John Turk with traffic. This is Aaron Hart on AM 760. Good morning. Thank you for joining me. I'd love to talk to you. We've got Paris Hilton sound. We've got John McCain sound. We've got a bunch of things for you. And we've got John Turk on traffic. We've got everything you need for your morning commute right here on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. I'm filling in for Jay Marvin. My name's Aaron Hart. Kurt in Centennial, welcome.
Morning, Aaron.
Morning, dude. What's up?
Oh, just on my way to work. Another wonderful day in paradise.
Hey, it's going to go back to being hot, too. Sorry about that.
No, that's all right. We got a little rain at my house, so that's
good.
Okay.
Good, because it's been dry as a bone.
Hey, I agree. First off, let me say that I'm a Hoosier by birth. and I knew Evan's dad pretty well. Great senator. Birch Bayh was completely underrated, and one of his things that I loved Birch for was his continued attempts to try to eradicate the Electoral College over the years, and never quite took. But
true enough, right. That was a great battle. I wish you were around now to get rid of it.
I know. It needs to go. It really does. It's an antiquated process, you know, when the Founding Fathers didn't really trust the ordinary person. And, of course, Republicans still don't trust ordinary people.
Oh, no. Why would they want to do that? They think we're too dumb to vote.
I know. People making up their own minds, making decisions for themselves. Who the hell wants that?
Oh, no, they don't want you to think. Oh, my goodness, you might put two together and go, oh, John McCain changed his position on oil drilling, got a big donation from the oil business. Oh, yeah. Wonder how that happened.
Connect the dots. But anyway, I agree with you about Evan Bayh. He is a sleeper. You know, as much as I'd love to see somebody from Indiana on the ticket, I happen to agree with the Denver Post the other day. I don't know if you saw that, but I still think Bill Richardson should be Obama's pick.
Well, I have not been able to confirm everything. There may be a little hitch with Richardson, and I hesitate to say anything because I've got it from a source of somebody who knows somebody who works in the government there. But let's put it this way: there might be Clintonian issues there. I've heard.
Okay. Well, you know, if that's the case, but I. You know, just
I hope not. I mean, I hope it's not the case. I hope he's not stupid enough to do that. But
yeah, but from a policy standpoint and experience standpoint, I think Richardson would be the guy. I mean, you know, former UN ambassador and working with the EPA, that he gives you that experience. That
bringing
people talk
the
about
Koreans
with.
Together. Oh, yeah, and he's whip smart. And actually, he's going on the campaign trail. I read this week with Clinton. Right. They're both going. He's going to help retire Clinton's debt. So apparently, they've kissed and made up. And, you know, New Mexico is blue. You know, it looks like Colorado may go blue this year. And certainly New Mexico, as I see the current map now, is a little bluer than Colorado even. And I think it might affect, you know, definitely the Latino vote to a certain extent.
Exactly. Because Obama's already polling well among the Hispanic population. But Richardson would help with that. And I think you're right. I think if you pick Richardson at a minimum, you sew up Nevada, Colorado, and New Mexico.
Do you think, though, that Richardson would frighten off even more so the wealthier white voters that Obama is still working hard to attract?
Who cares?
We've been owned by rich white men long enough in this country. Free at last, free at last.
You know,
thank goodness.
As long as we, and I don't know if you saw the cover of Newsweek that came out this week, and I lived in the South for a long time. Grew up in Alabama and lived in Georgia for 19 years. And this administration that we have, people don't understand it. It's been a Southern administration. And that's why this country is in such a mess. It's not just Bush himself. You know, he obviously, you know, he's been governor of Texas. But some of the people have changed. But Tom DeLay, we forget that he was around for a long, long time in this administration. Trent Lott.
Newt Gingrich, even though he was a carpetbagger to the South. Yeah.
Exactly. And Newt was my congressman for a short while. So people don't understand that what's been going on here and the reason we're in such horrible shape is because we've been in control of Southern Republicans.
Trump, it's the revenge of the South.
Well, it is. It has been. Because even look around today, those states still don't really know how to run themselves, especially South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi. Tell me those states are bastions of higher education and economic development.
Actually, North Carolina is pretty hip in a lot of different
ways.
Yeah,
I know. North Carolina is, but it's a changing demographic the same way Virginia is because of the research triangle around Raleigh, Durham, and Charlotte.
My relatives in South Carolina would probably take distinct exception to what you're saying, but and most of them are Republican, I confess. But I think I think you may be right that, that the South, you know, this Christopher Dickey, Dickey article, I always forget whether he's Hickey or Dickey, but he's Dickey. It is, you know, he says, I've been alive. The old Confederacy has been a land without closure. You know, it may be true. Absolutely. That may be a good postulation as to why, we, you know, we're still dealing with all the legacy of the old South. That I like that explanation,
yeah,
actually.
And, you know, and we got the guy who'd been governor from Texas. And remember what Molly Ivan says. Texas is just the laboratory for bad government.
Yeah, well, then I don't think we're going to go with Pelosi's pick of Chet Edwards, although
no,
I hear good things about him, but I don't know him. I don't really know of him, do you?
Well, I do. He's a really good guy, actually, very progressive, and he's been fighting for...
strong on veterans' rights.
Yeah, go and look up his record. He's an excellent, smart guy, and there are Democrats in Texas, and a lot of them are excellent. Unfortunately, they're just overwhelmed by the sheer stupidity of the rest of the conservatives in the state. But the Washington Post had a poll, you know, make your pick, and this was months ago, who do you think Obama ought to pick? And I put in Richardson. I still would like to go
to
him.
So you're still for Bill Richardson and see. Well, we'll see. It says here, not such a dark horse, says Nancy Pelosi. We'll see. He's staying mum, apparently, about a ticket with Obama. So maybe he is being considered. Who knows? That sounds good. He sounds good on paper. So does my favorite is Governor Tim McCain, because given Christopher Dickey's article and everything else, I think we're still going to have to throw a sop to the South. So it may be a good idea to throw it, because then we might have a chance of getting Virginia. And I think it might even seal the deal a little bit closer with North Carolina, which is teetering on blueness as well.
Yeah, I think Kane would be an excellent pick. I just worry about, it looks like the Dems are poised to do a lot of good things in Virginia, and you don't want to take away from what they're already doing in the state. But no, I could live with Tim Kaine.
I could, too. I want to throw it out there, though, at 303-713-7600. And thanks so much for your call, Kurt.
Thank
You're
you,
obviously
Aaron.
Extremely well-informed, and I've learned from you. Thank you. I'm wondering, who do you want to be Barack's vice president? Do you want it to be Chet Edwards, D. Texas? He's from the Waco area. He has been mentioned by Nancy Pelosi as a great pick. He's a 9-term congressman. He's chairman of the Military Construction and Veterans Affairs Appropriations Subcommittee. He won his seat in a predominantly Republican district where the president resides by a narrow 51-47 margin. Now, the other people on the short list include Tim Kaine, Joe Biden. I think Hillary Clinton is still on the list, although I just don't see it. I don't see her being able to help enough to put him over the top with white people. I just don't see it. I don't see it. Maybe you do. I don't. 303-713-7600. There is good news on the horizon as well. There are lower oil prices, which have ignited a big rally. The Dow is up by 331, but I don't know how long that will last. Certainly a barrel of oil is less in cost now. It's to $119.17 a barrel as of early this morning. And we've got the news about Ron Suskind to talk about as well. So the Veep Stakes, we can also talk about the Paris Hilton ad. I'd love to hear that again. Actually, John, can we play that ad again when you get a chance? Okay.
Hey, cool, America, I'm Paris Hilton, and I'm a celebrity too. Only I'm not from the olden days, and I'm not promising change like that other guy. I'm just hot. But then that wrinkly white-haired guy used me in his campaign ad, which I guess means I'm running for president. So thanks for the endorsement, white-haired dude. And I want America to know that I'm, like, totally ready to lead. And now I want to present my energy policy for America. Just as soon as I finish reading this article on where I can fly to get the best tan. Oh, Maui. Loves it. Okay, so here's my energy policy. Barack wants to focus on new technologies to cut foreign oil dependency. And McCain wants offshore drilling. Well, why don't we do a hybrid of both candidates' ideas? We can do limited offshore drilling with strict environmental oversight while creating tax incentives to get Detroit making hybrid and electric cars. That way, the offshore drilling carries us until the new technologies kick in, which will then create new jobs and energy independence. Energy crisis solved. I'll see you at the debates, bitches. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go pick out a vice president. I'm thinking Rihanna. I'll see you at the White House. Oh, and I might paint it pink. I hope that's cool with you guys. Bye. I'm Paris Hilton, and I approve this message because I think it's totally hot.
I think that ad is totally hot. It cheers me up every time. You know, yeah, if you have to wake up early in the morning to fill in big shoes like Jay's, it's really okay if you get to listen to that every morning. I mean, it's just so fun. I love her now. I just, you know, I really think she just used her celebrity for the greater good. 303-713-7600. So thanks, Paris, for the laugh and the lift in the election. Now, do you think Evan Bayh will be the pick? I do not. I just don't. Barack Obama is appearing in Indiana today, and I could be going out on a big limb here. I could be crashing through the trees. But he really is just totally boring. Boring, boring, boring. So 303-713-7600. I would love to talk to you about any and all of these topics. We're also going to hit heavier in the next hour, the Ron Suskind book, the revelations about the Ron Suskind book. We're also going to talk more about John McCain at Sturgis. Now, how would you feel? I don't know, ladies, how would you feel if your husband got up on a platform at Sturgis and said, "Hi, take my wife, run her in that contest"? I mean, maybe you think it'd be totally hot and cool. I mean, certainly she might look good in a bikini, Cindy McCain. I think she just seems so skin and bones to me. You know, that I like, you know, I just think, see, I like skinny men and women with curves. I just think, I don't know, I've always gone for thinner men. But I don't know. It, to me, it's like, I don't get it. I don't get why he did it, except to appeal. Now, the other sad thing about John McCain is even his so-called off-the-cuff remarks, he's reading off a teleprompter. It's just off a lectern. It's just like, oh, please. It's like you have to get your jokes and then read them aloud. Maybe you could have memorized that one. Now, I know I'm picking on him, but please. It's like he just sold his wife. Hi, I want my wife to be Miss Buffalo Chip. Oh, great. Can you imagine Barack Obama putting his wife up on Miss Buffalo Chip? It's just, they're so classy. This is just so unclassy. But make no mistake about it. He is running for the image. He wants to look bikerish. He wants to look as if he is hip, cool, and in control. That's how he wants to look. He wants to look as if he's the stuff. And this is a cultural battle. Never forget. I'm of the working class. He's not. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart. What do you think of the election follies this morning and Ron Suskind's book, The Way of the World, revelations again? And the Bush administration not only knew they were forging documents now, no weapons of mass destruction. Let's make some. 303-713-7600. It's time for Colorado's Progressive Traffic with John Turk. Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm trying to read Dickie's articles during the breaks. I didn't get very far. I'm also going to talk to you about House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's reasons why she wasn't ready to put impeachment on the table. Apparently, to just summarize it quickly, what she told Katrina Vandenhoevel is she's looking at the long ball. By the way, Chris Vandenhoevel's transcription of the interview, which is edited, you know, I've always thought that Nancy Pelosi, does anybody else think this? Sometimes she just doesn't make too much sense. She, like, talks in so many circles. It's like, wait, what are you saying? I know politicians are used to baffling us with BS, but still, whoa, what are you saying? And reading her is sort of the same feeling, or maybe it was because I was mad at my neighbors because they wouldn't be quiet when I was trying to go to bed at the lovely hour of 9:30. I finally made it to sleep by about 11:15. But anyway, she was just amazed. She said that basically she sees the election, she sees it as long ball is the reason. 06 is when we took it back. 08, we solidify and strengthen and get a Democratic president. 10, you usually slip back in the first election that a president has right after he gets elected. So maybe lose a little coattails. Then in 12, gain them back. I mean, she's got a whole agenda for a, you know, she's sort of like Karl Rove. She's got the plan, Stan, and she's going to go for a Democratic majority to get things done incrementally. She was also terrifically worried about the Democrats who voted for the war. She did not think that she could handle, she could count on them, rely upon them to vote with impeachment. She was afraid that because they voted conservatively one time, that they would stymie and put in the mire any kind of effort to go after the Bush administration. She also pointed out that the Bush administration is so incredibly secretive, has hidden most things, probably destroyed a lot of the evidence. I mean, they, you know, emails and everything else, destroyed enough of the evidence to nail them for a lot of the lying their faces off that I believe that they did about Iraq, and most of us believe that they on the left believe that they did about Iraq. And you know what? And I don't easily call the president of the United States a liar, just so you know. If you're listening to me for the first time, I don't usually just go liar, liar, pants on fire. The man has systematically lost. I never did like the Bush family much as a political family, I will admit, mainly because I don't think they're very bright, like with the exception possibly of Jeb and Mommy. But I just don't like the way he's run the country. Now, that's different than, is he a liar and did he take us to war? And apparently his new book shows, Ron Suskind's new book, Veteran Journalist, shows in a substantial way that not only did they know that they helped fabricate evidence to try to solidify their case once they knew they were getting into trouble because there were no weapons of mass destruction. There were never going to be any. There wasn't a connection to Al-Qaeda, which kind of begs the question, then why did they get into the mire in the first place? But, you know, apparently he was hell-bent on getting in. Now, the other revelation to come out of this book is that probably the levers were all being pulled by Dick Cheney. And we've also kind of known this for some time, that the real president of the United States, sadly, is Dick Cheney. And we didn't really elect him to be president of the United States, did we? No. Ron Suskind's book, Paris Hilton's Comments, John McCain begging for attention at Sturgis, all that and more. Who will Barack Obama pick today? We'll talk about it. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the J. Marvin Show this Wednesday morning. Good morning.